At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. It's our spring membership drive. More on that in just a minute. First, Rick Steves can tell you the best Burgundy to have on Bloomsday in Dublin. Which German village makes the best Christmas gingerbread? He can even tell you how to pack, where to sleep, and what day of the week to visit those iconic pieces of art. In short, Rick Steves is the American expert on European travel. He's been packing up and heading across the ocean for more than 50 years. And his books, podcast, and television show have been inspiring others to take their own journeys for decades, too. And he joins us now. Welcome back to All Sides, Rick.
Thanks, Anna. Nice to be with you.
And you're listening to All Sides with Anna Staver here on 89.7 NPR News. We're asking you to support this nonprofit public service radio station. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is a very special hour on All Sides because travel expert Rick Steves is with us on air. It's the perfect time to show your support for WOSU Public Media. With a gift of $15 a month as a sustainer, you can get a wonderful Rick Steves package that includes three great books and a DVD set. The first book is Europe Through the Back Door. This is Rick's landmark travel skills handbook, now updated in its 40th edition. The second book in the package is Europe's Top 100 Masterpieces, Art for the Traveler. This beautiful book takes you on a chronological tour of Europe's greatest paintings, sculptures, and historic buildings, from Apollo to David, from the Mona Lisa to the Thinker. And the third book is For the Love of Europe. This book features Rick's favorite places, people, and stories collected from over four decades of European travel. And not only do you get these three books, but you also get the Rick Steves Art of Europe DVD set. 6 hours about European art from the pyramids to Picasso. Become a member at $15 a month as a sustainer, or make a one-time gift of $180 and get this amazing Rick Steves package. If you're a fan of travel, then this is the thank you gift that's perfect for you. This hour of All Sides is a great time to support public radio. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And so, Rick, you've made traveling to Europe your career and seeing some of the continent's greatest cities many, many times over. But in a recent piece for the Washington Post, you recommended that we all visit second cities. What are those and why should we go see them?
Well, first cities are great, but first cities are really crowded. And these days, the big issue for travel is crowds. All of us tend to go to the same places, and that becomes a kind of a, it just becomes a cycle where more and more people go to fewer and fewer places because of crowdsourcing and all these lists of the most exciting places to visit. And I remind my travelers that, well, you know, historically, everybody who goes to Scotland goes to Edinburgh. Don't miss the second city, Glasgow. Everybody who goes to Portugal goes to Lisbon, of course, but don't miss the second city, Porto. Everybody that goes to Ireland goes to see Dublin, but don't miss Belfast. These are second cities. All of these places I just mentioned happen to be more rough-edged cities. They are industrial cities. They were cities that were really in the dumps in the last generation, and now they're jumping out in a very exciting and creative and edgy way. And they don't have the tourist crowds. They got more smiles, they've got better prices, and a more real experience. So sure, you want to see Dublin, and you want to see Lisbon, and you want to see Edinburgh. But if I have 4 days in any of those cities, I think I would take one of those days, and at least, and go to the neighboring city. And with wonderful transportation in Europe, they're all just, you know, an hour or two away. So you got those kind of options. And, you know, more fundamentally, Anna, is just avoiding the crowds. Mm-hmm. COVID was big news for travelers, but now COVID's history. thank God. And the issue in 2019 was crowds, and the issue in 2024 is crowds. So we need to be smart to enjoy our trip, and we need to find a candid, intimate European experience. We want to meet people. We want to be part of the party rather than just part of the economy. And in my teaching, that's what I recommend when people are planning their itineraries.
Yeah, and the nice thing about your books, too, is that they're updated like year after year. So you're not going to pull out the latest edition and have it be all pre-COVID and that hotel you want to go to or that place you want to see just no longer exists.
Well, you can imagine how important it is to, now when you're traveling, to have guidebook information that is post-COVID. Before COVID, it was a different world. They didn't, for example, sites weren't interested in controlling crowds. You would just show up whenever they were open. Now, you know, in 5 years, it's a radical difference because now in so many sites, they don't even sell tickets the day of the of your arrival. If you go to the ticket booth at the Sagrada Familia Church by Antoni Gaudí in Barcelona, it's what the church everybody wants to see when they go to Barcelona. You'll find a ticket booth that's all dusty and has a little sign taped on the door that says, sorry, we don't sell tickets here at the church anymore. You got to book it online. Come back tomorrow with a ticket booked online and an appointment. So yeah, when I'm updating my guidebooks, and I'm heading off in a couple weeks to update guidebooks as I do every year for 80 or 100 days, I'm going to come home with like a sidebar on the front page of every city chapter, and it's going to say what you need to have reserved in advance before you get here. In the old days, you would just line up at the door to see Anne Frank's house in Amsterdam. Now, there used to be a mob of people trying to get to Anne Frank's house, a line 2 blocks long. Now there's no line at all because people have appointments. The only way you can get in is with a ticket in advance, and you show up during your half hour window, and they let in so many people, and then there's no chaos. So it's quite nice, but the good traveler has to be on the ball that way. So if you're going to Amsterdam with the typical traveler's needs, you would want to have 4 things reserved in advance. You'd want to have Anne Frank's house reserved in advance. You'd want to have the Van Gogh Museum reserved in advance, the Rijksmuseum to see the Dutch masters and the Rembrandt's Night Watch and everything. And then if you want to go to a trendy restaurant that really is popular and worth checking out, you'd want to book that in advance in Amsterdam. So those are the 4 things you need to have booked before you get to the city you're going to visit. The flip side of that is everything else is wide open. You can go to all the other museums and do just fine. But the smart traveler in 2024 needs to do their homework and know what you need to book in advance, or you'll have all sorts of frustrations just showing up without an appointment.
I want to circle back to this idea of second cities, and I actually want to play a little game that I'm calling, if you want to see this, consider that. So I got the idea after my own trip to France last fall. We went to see Versailles because it's Versailles, but it was packed. The Hall of Mirrors was so crowded and hot, and don't get me wrong, it was absolutely beautiful, but we actually had a much better time at Fontainebleau. So if you want to see a palace like Versailles, you could consider Fontainebleau, right? Because it's not as big, it's not as grand, but it's still beautiful, and you're not going to be packed in like sardines shuffling down the Hall of Mirrors. Does that make sense?
It's a great game. Let's play.
Okay. Yeah. So Notre Dame is an easy one because the cathedral is still being rebuilt. Where else can we see a stunning Gothic cathedral?
Well, Notre Dame right now is not even open to the public because of that tragic fire that they had a few years ago. And when it is open, it's going to be very, very crowded. About a 10-minute walk away is Sainte-Chapelle. And Sainte-Chapelle is the greatest Gothic interior anywhere in Europe. You climb up that dark little spiral staircase, and you step into a lantern of Gothic stained glass wonder. I mean, all this beautiful colored sunlight is just bathing the interior. And this Gothic church was built by the king to house the crown of thorns as a reliquary. I mean, a reliquary is a jeweled sort of a treasure box that you put a very holy relic in. And the crown of thorns was like the ultimate relic. And they paid more for the crown of thorns even than for the church that was going to hold it. And this 800 years ago, they built this Sainte-Chapelle chapel. And when you step in there, you're overwhelmed by the beauty of Gothic architecture. And right away, you understand then why Gothic was a big deal coming out of the more dark Romanesque period. So yeah, Notre Dame would be really crowded. Sainte-Chapelle, also crowded, but much better, much more rewarding. And it's just a 10-minute walk away.
I want to take
I got one more thing, Anna.
Okay.
We were filming our art series. And we were filming our art series and I had a whole section on Gothic. And I needed some beautiful textbook example of Gothic architecture. And I wanted it hopefully in a place that didn't have any tourist crowds. I went to Amiens, A-M-I-E-N-S, a short train ride away from Paris. And the Gothic Cathedral in Amiens, a town that was pretty much bombed in World War I, so there's a lot of modern building there and not much old stuff, but that church miraculously survived, and it is the most beautiful, beautiful example of Gothic architecture I could imagine anywhere. It was a big boon for our TV show. By the way, when people pledge at either level today, at $8 a month or $15 a month, they'll get that 2-DVD set, which is the 6-hour art series, and you'll see my favorite Gothic cathedrals there, Notre Dame, Saint-Chapelle, and the Amiens Cathedral. But that Amiens was one of the great bonuses for me in filming my art series. I got to have the permission to take the film crew into that amazing cathedral. And we just had the time of our lives filming that.
This is 89.7 NPR News. It's our membership drive. And we're asking you to make a gift and support this public radio station today. Make a gift of $8 a month as a sustainer, and we have a wonderful thank you package for you. You'll receive the book, For the Love of Europe, written by our special guest today, Rick Steves. In this book, you'll read about 100 of Rick's favorite people, places, and stories collected during a lifetime of European travel. In addition to the book, you also get Rick Steves' Art of Europe DVD set. This is a 6-hour series where Rick tells you the story of Europe's art from the pyramids to Picasso and more. Plus, everyone who gets a Rick Steves package this hour also gets the Rick Steves Travel Skills DVD and the Best Destinations newsletter. Make your contribution of $8 a month as a sustainer right now and get this Rick Steves package. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This is a great day to become a new member of 89.7 NPR News. You'll be supporting the news and information you rely on and trust. And you get a great Rick Steves thank you gift package. Rick's books and TV shows can take you across Europe and immerse you deep in the culture of each village and town, all without leaving your living room. Perhaps you're thinking about planning an adventure overseas. You can plan your trip with Rick's updated books. And the best part, of course, is that you're supporting public media at the same time. Making a gift is truly a win-win. Make a gift of $8 a month today at WOSU.org or make your gift by calling 866-897-9678.
And Anna, if somebody is interested in supporting WOSU and supporting public radio, wow, if you can afford that $8 a month gift, you will get those gifts. But if you can bump it up to $15 a month, there's 2 more books that we add in. And if you have a trip coming up in the next 10, 15 years, these books will really be helpful. You'll get the 40th edition of my Europe Through the Back Door book. That's an 800-page collection of all the most important practical tips I've learned in a lifetime, really, of going over there and taking notes and making mistakes and bringing home the lessons from that experience. When I get ripped off, I celebrate. They don't know who they just ripped off. I'm going to learn that scam and pack it into the new edition of that book. I'll go over there and I hit and I miss and I miss and I hit and I miss and I bring home the hits and I write them up so people can learn from my experience and have a better time on their trip. We Americans have the shortest vacations in the rich world, and it's just so important that we take the planning part of our trip seriously. That's the handbook for how you travel. It's Europe Through the Back Door. You get that, plus all the other gifts you mentioned, at the $15 a month level. And you get a coffee table book that is Europe's top 100 masterpieces, Art for the Traveler. And I had so much fun picking my favorite 100 masterpieces. There's all the ones you'd expect to find, but there's also a lot of great art you didn't even realize was out there. And it was so much fun to put that together with artfully crafted essays for each one, so it brings it to life. And if you or a traveling loved one enjoys the art, what a wonderful gift. So just to review again, for $15 a month, you get every gift we're talking about today. You get the For the Love of Europe book. It's my 100 favorite articles highlighting my favorite experiences. It's just a vivid look at the best of Europe. You get the DVD with 6 hours. It's a 2-DVD set, 6 hours, the story of the art of Europe from the prehistoric cave paintings right up to the wacky art of today. You get the Europe Through the Back Door How to Travel book, the brand new 2024 edition, and you get that 100 Masterpieces coffee table book with the beautiful full page photographs of each of these works of art and an essay to bring it to life. And if you really want to go traveling, you're going to get my most important skills. I've got about 8 hours of lectures on the 2-disc DVD set that's included at both levels. And you'll get our newsletter, which highlights the experiences in Europe and clues you in on all the stuff I'm doing with my 100 workmates here in Seattle to help Americans learn from our experience and travel better. So this is the time to get on board, make public broadcasting strong in your community by supporting WOSU. Thank you so much.
And if you want to give, you can give today online at WOSU.org or by calling 866-897-9678. And I want to circle back to that this or that game we were playing just a little bit earlier, because I have a budget one that, so if we love the idea of the Amalfi Coast, but we don't love the price, where can we go to have a similar experience?
Well, the Amalfi Coast is the movie star Riviera of Italy. It's south of Naples. It's got, just dreams of Sophia Loren and all the razzle-dazzle glamour of the Italian coastline. But it's a very skinny road. It's very steep cliffs that plunge into tiny villages on the beaches. It's very exotic, but everybody's going there and it drives up the price. That's quite expensive. I would say up in the north of Italy, there's a more rustic coastline. It's called the Cinque Terre. These are the five lands. They're five traffic-free villages in a national park, and nobody can change any of their buildings, so you can't build fancy resorts. There's just humble B&Bs there, and it's got lots of crowds these days because people know how beautiful the Cinque Terre is, but I just love going there. And there are small towns nearby that have plenty of accommodations where the huge demand won't drive the price up. So about an hour away from the Leaning Tower of Pisa, about 2 hours away from Florence, on the Italian coastline near the city of Genoa, are the five little villages. That's the Cinque Terre. And I do want to remind you, when you pledge today for WSU, you will get The Love of Europe, which has an article on the Cinque Terre. You'll get Europe Through the Back Door that talks about how to catch the train and how to find a good accommodations and how to enjoy the local cuisine. So when you do get there, you'll have the best trip. But to answer your question, the Cinque Terre would be the humble version, the back door, the intimate, candid, I think much more exciting version of the Amalfi Coast.
So Amsterdam is beautiful and definitely worth seeing, but is there anywhere else that we could go to see a great example of Dutch architecture that maybe is a little less crowded, a little less touristy, a little less expensive?
Yeah. You know, when we make our TV show for public television, a lot of times I give myself a challenge. The first time we do a show on the Netherlands, it's going to be Amsterdam. The first time we do a show on the Czech Republic, it's going to be Prague. The first time we do a show on Norway, it's going to be Oslo. But the second time, I love the challenge of doing a very exciting show that does not include the big, dramatic marquee destination. And we did a show on the Czech Republic without Prague, and it was a wonderful peek at backdoor Czech. We do Oslo without, or Norway without Oslo, and of course we do the Netherlands without Amsterdam. There are no shortage of towns in the Netherlands that have the charm of Amsterdam in a pint-sized version. Amsterdam is the best preserved big city, but there are countless little cities that were rich during the age of Henry Hudson and the Dutch East India Company, and when the Dutch were, masters of trade and had so much money coming into their society. And I would say Hoorn is a great town. I would say Haarlem is a great town. What would another one be? I think Alkmaar. Beautiful town. I would say Haarlem and Hoorn would be my two favorite towns outside of Amsterdam. And the great thing about traveling in the Netherlands is public transportation is so amazing. It's a tiny country. They've got beautiful trains. They've got bike paths. They've got bus connections that are so convenient and smart. The Dutch just really have their act together, and you can enjoy traveling there. I use, when I do a 3-week tour around Europe, the first, we take about 30,000 people on our tours every year, and we have 40 different itineraries. And the first tour that I ever led, way back when I was a kid, was the best of Europe in 3 weeks, and it started in the Netherlands, and it didn't start in Amsterdam. It started in Harlem, and we make our hometown in the little, our home base in the little town of Harlem, and then we can side trip into Amsterdam using the train like commuters do there. But we have that charm, that charming base from which to have our first Dutch experience. And we kicked off our whole Best of Europe itinerary with two nights in Harlem.
Final this or that, and I think this might be the hardest one for you, is that if we want a Michelin star kind of like food experience in Italy, but, you know, that's cost prohibitive for a lot of people. I mean, you're looking at $1,000 for two people probably. So if we want that Michelin star level food in Italy, where would should we be considering?
Okay, well, all over Europe, I'm really into Michelin-rated restaurants, but not Michelin-starred restaurants. And with a star, you get lots of pretense. It gets lots of attention. The price goes up. You have to get a reservation long in advance. You got to dress up. I like a smart clientele. I like beautifully presented food. I like to spend a fair amount of money for the food, but I don't want to make it a big over-the-top affair. So I go to Michelin-rated restaurants. There's even a word for it in much of Europe. It's bibe gourmand. But so do a little study in advance. I'll be researching in Europe in 3 weeks. I'm going over to Europe for a month. And every day, I've got on my itinerary, I got G10 and G6, and that means that at 10 o'clock I'm going to get a guide, and at 6 o'clock I'll get a guide. Every evening I have a food guide, and my staff lines up all of the Michelin-rated restaurants that are not starred, and I choose which restaurants I want, which neighborhoods I want to feature, and I put all those little places in a row, and I'll visit them with my local food guide, and I'll find some places that are just perfect for my listing in the Rick Steves guidebook for that area. But the trick is, you want to find a Michelin-rated restaurant, and in Italy that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, Anna, even without the Michelin business, what I like to do is find a restaurant. If I'm looking for a good value restaurant, I want a restaurant that's on a low-rent street, a restaurant that's family-run, a small restaurant that's a one-off. It's the passion, it's the labor of love of this family for generations. I mean, and then I want to see a thriving, hearty, happy local crowd that knows that this is a good value, that has come back time and time again. I want a small handwritten menu, small because they're cooking up what they can sell at a good price and still make some money. Handwritten because it's shaped by what's fresh in the market this week. And one language because they're targeting locals rather than tourists. If you find a place like that, low rent, thriving crowd, boisterous atmosphere, good looking food, a menu that fits that description, it's good. It's going to be a great deal for you. Instead of going to the famous square and having a pre-printed menu in three languages that serves the same dishes all year long, oblivious to the seasons, on a high-rent corner with a big sign that says no frozen food in English and we accept Visa cards and we speak English. That's going to be filled with tourists. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be, frankly, a real disappointing experience compared to the other restaurant that I just recommended. And these are the kind of skills that we like to talk about. You know, one thing I'm all about is accessibility in my travels, Anna, and I'm just so thankful that with WSU, I've got a chance to produce a radio show and also, you know, make my public television show for people in your community where we can assume an attention span, where we can respect people's intelligence, and where we can make programming driven not by a passion for keeping advertisers happy, but simply by a passion for inspiring people to reach out and embrace the world in all its wonder and all of its beauty and its diversity. I'm so thankful to be able to make programming for public broadcasting. It's just programming with a mission. It's programming that broadens our perspectives. It's programming that inspires us to reach out and celebrate the world. We're not eyeballs on some ratings chart. We are neighbors. We are fellow citizens. We're all in this together. And media is more important than ever these days. And when I get a chance, like right now, to help out a station by, you know, talking travel and also talking the mission of public broadcasting, I jump at that because it is more important than ever right now in our society that we have media that inspires us to be engaged, that expects us to be smart. It's important for our democracy, more important than ever. If you understand that, then you know WOSU is not a charity. It's a service. And if you're consuming this service and you cannot afford to help out, that's okay. That's what public radio is all about. It's for everybody. But if you're consuming this service and you can afford to help out, it's only right to do so. This is kind of on the honor system. The ball's in your court right now, frankly, and we are making it more fun than ever to get on board as a supporting member of WOSU. What's most important is to become a member of this station and you make it possible. But we're going to sweeten it with some fun gifts, some great practical gifts, especially if you or a loved one in your life is a traveler. There's two gift levels, $8 a month or $15 a month. Let me give you a quick rundown. At $8 a month, you'll get the For the Love of Europe book. It's 400 pages, my 100 favorite articles highlighting all my best experiences over 50 years of traveling in Europe. If you've enjoyed my TV shows over the years, you've got articles in every one of the TV shows in there covering all of the wonders of Europe. You'll also get the two-disc, eight-hour or six-hour DVD set taking you on the full series, the mini-series that we made a couple years ago, The Art of Europe. And then at the $15 a month level, we'll add in two more books. You'll get the How to Travel Handbook out in its new 40th edition, Europe Through the Back Door, 800 pages of all the practical skills, all the nitty-gritty designed so you can learn from my experience rather than your own and have the best possible trip on your first time. And you'll also get the coffee table book with all featuring the 100 greatest masterpieces of European art. That's all yours for the $15 a month level. And at both levels, there are two extra gifts. You'll get the DVD set with 8 hours of my most important lectures, practical skills, art appreciation, and how we can travel in a way that is transformational, broadening our perspective so we bring home that most beautiful souvenir, which is an appreciation and an enthusiasm for getting out there and getting to know the other 96% of humanity through our travels. And you'll get the newsletter. It's our annual newsletter, which highlights the greatest experiences in Europe. And it's all about experiences these days. That's what people want, to carbonate their travels. So give us a ring. You can choose $8 a month or $15 a month, but at $15 a month, that's the hot level right now. You'll get every gift we're talking about, and you'll be first class on WOSU.
And that number again is 866-897-9678. This is 89.7 NPR News' membership drive. And if you listen to All Sides with Anna Staver every day, then now is the time to show your support. 89.7 NPR News is part of your life. In recent months especially, you've relied on this station for important information about Ohio's primary elections, the impacts of the Intel development that and what it will have on the region. And we've been digging deep into Central Ohio's housing crisis with our new series, Untangled. 89.7 NPR News brings you news that you trust. Support the coverage you count on. Give it WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So this summer, Paris is hosting the Olympics. And I'm sure some folks who are listening are considering heading to Paris to see the Olympics. In fact, several Ohio State students have already qualified to go compete for Team USA. Do you have any tips for navigating a place during a major event like the Olympics?
Yeah, boy, Anna, if the Olympics were coming up in Paris and I really wanted to enjoy them, I would go to any place but Paris. And I would spend half of the amount of money, I'd have a quarter of the amount of headaches and crowds, and I would settle myself into a beautiful little community. I'd make friends with the guy who runs the bar, and I would sit there every night and watch it with that community on TV. I would go to a little town in Burgundy. I'd surround myself with local villagers and drink the finest wine, and I would get into the events that way. I'm not a good one to ask, to be honest, about how to put yourself in the middle of all that chaos. I just know it's very expensive and it's very crowded. And it's a crowded and expensive city anyways, so good luck.
So when I introduced you at the beginning of this hour, I referenced Bloomsday in Ireland, which is about celebrating James Joyce. But I think there's tons of places across Europe for book lovers. What are some of your favorites?
Well, you know, I love to go to places that are that inspired artists. I'm not a big one for going to places that are famous because it was in a movie or in a TV show. And that's a huge part of tourism these days for a lot of people. They just go over there because it's in Game of Thrones, you know, or whatever, or it's in Star Wars. And I kind of, it's just not my thing. But what I love is to love the music of somebody who was inspired by the fjords of Norway and to go to the fjords and listen to that music and go to the house where Edvard Grieg actually lived and composed. I love to go to a place that which has special light that inspired painters in the Impressionist movement in the 1870s or 1880s, the battle cry for this radical rabble of new kinds of crazy artists was out of the studio and into nature. And they went into the light and to go into Normandy where Monet was and where these radical, groundbreaking, revolutionary painters took us into the Impressionist age and to see go to the museums that they lived, the homes that they lived in, which are now museums. I mean, you can go to the garden that Monet created for his water lilies at Giverny. It's just outside of Paris. Boy, that's a beautiful experience. There are plenty of opportunities to see what inspired your favorite artists and be inspired by that yourself. And that is a wonderful goal when you're traveling. Get into something, read about it, understand the context. For me, a big theme of my teaching lately, and I hope to show that in my radio work and in our TV series, is to recognize that the more you bring to your sightseeing, the more you'll get out of it. The more you understand the wine, the more you'll enjoy it. The more you understand the escargot and the foie gras, the more you'll enjoy it. The more you understand why caprese salad, mozzarella and beautiful tomatoes originates in a place that has the most tasty mozzarella and the tastiest tomatoes. You get more out of it. If you know what an aqueduct is, you'll get more out of visiting an aqueduct. If you know what a windmill is all about, you'll get more out of visiting a windmill. If you know how to smoke a hookah, you get more out of going to a shisha bar in Istanbul. If you know why the Finns love to get naked and soak together in a sauna, you can do the same thing and whip yourself with those little birch twigs and actually feel good about it. So that's our challenge, is to take an understanding of our sightseeing with us into the field. And that's what I try to do as a tour guide and a travel writer, is inspire and equip people to get the most out of their travels. For me, again, it's just such a blessing to be able to make TV shows for public broadcasting, because we, Anna, you and I get to work in an environment where we don't dumb it down and just try to make money for advertisers. Isn't it great to have a gig where you really have that mission of just inspiring people to reach out and celebrate the world and to be smarter citizens? And there's a lot of powerful forces in our world that would find it convenient if we're all just dumbed down, just go shopping, just be a mindless producer consumer. But we're that one little oasis on the dial that that really respects our audience. And we're all in this together. And I'll tell you, history is speaking to us. I'm all about learning from history. And when I go to Europe, boy, there's so much history and it's so poignant. And Europe has the same struggles we have. They've got, the same struggles with opioid concerns, climate change, with immigration, with an aging society, right-wing populism. Europe has this dynamic, and how are they dealing with it? And how do we deal with it? How do they provide their health care? How do they deal with old age security? It's so interesting because we're all caring people and we're all trying to figure this out. And when I travel, one of the great things to remember is when you leave home, you can learn more about your own home by looking at it from a distance and through the lens of people in other societies who are struggling with the same challenges. This is a beautiful thing. And we can make that an option for us, or we can just be dumbed down and go to the beach. But here in public broadcasting, we hopefully inspire and equip people to be engaged, to be curious, and to become better educated. And that's what all these packages are about. I mean, if people are going to pledge their support to WSU today, they believe in the mission of public broadcasting. They believe in the challenges that are facing our society today. They believe in the importance and the fragility of our democracy. And we know, history teaches us, that you need an engaged electorate that's not going to be manipulated and dumbed down. That's why I turn to WOSU and public radio for my news. That's why I appreciate the culture I get in public broadcasting. And that's why I see this channel not as a charity, but as a service. It's just more than you and me. It's for people that don't even understand why anybody would voluntarily give to some radio station, because it's non-commercial. This is the one oasis on the Dale that is non-commercial. I love the commercial stuff, but I know there's one little oasis, one thoughtful corner on the dial, one little beautiful bright spot in our media landscape here in the United States of America that is people. It's people's owned. It's not corporate owned. It's about us, and we make it happen with our financial support. It's just, I just want to talk straight. It takes a little money to have commercial free quality media, and media has never been more impactful in our society than it is right now. Think of the impact of media in our society, and then think of the value of WOSU. If you believe in that, you've got a chance right now to get on board. And there's two exciting levels, $8 a month or $96 if you want to make a one-time gift, and $15 a month or $180 for a one-time gift. If you would like to come in first class for WOSU, we'd love to send you all the thank you packages, and it's tailored for the needs of a traveler, a thoughtful supporter of WOSU. At that $15 a month level, you'll get everything we're talking about. The How to Travel book, Europe Through the Back Door. I've updated it every year with 100 days of making mistakes and taking careful notes. This is the brand new 40th edition. It's hot off the press, so you can learn from my experience and travel smarter. Even if you're not in a philanthropic mood right now, the information in that book will pay back the $180 we're talking about for your gift in a couple of days in Europe. I can promise you that. You'll get my 100 Masterpieces of European Art book, coffee table book you can have sitting around, and it's just a delightful way. You read through that one little, you know, spread at a time, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, I didn't know how much I loved art, because you know more about it now. You'll also get my For the Love of Europe book, and this is a collection of my 100 most exciting essays and experiences in Europe. It's all of the wonders of Europe packed into a fun-to-read book. Even if you've done your traveling, this is a great book to relive all those memories. If you've enjoyed my TV show over the years, you got the backstory of all that fun we've had in this For the Love of Europe book. So it's about 1,500 pages of information right there. Plus, you'll get the brand new Art of Europe TV miniseries. That's a six-hour series on two DVDs. You'll have that on your bookshelf, so you can just tune into the Renaissance, tune into ancient Rome, tune in to the Impressionist, just go way, way back to ancient Greeks. All of that is yours with great thanks if you can help us out right now at that exciting $15 a month level. Come on, get on board. Thanks.
And I will say, just from personal experience, that my experience at the Louvre was improved by knowing the history, particularly when it comes to World War II. And, you know, some of these massive paintings were just rolled up like a carpet, to use Rick's own words, and taken away and protected and hidden. And it's just, it adds such that next layer of appreciation for the artwork that you're seeing, knowing how all these people came together to try and save and preserve it through the World War. And this is 89.7 NPR News, and this is our membership drive. Remember, gifts from listeners like you are the foundation of our budget. We do not answer to commercial influences in public radio. We are not beholden to shareholders. We answer only to you, our listeners. Make a gift now and support this mission at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. When you make a gift of $15 a month, which is what we've been talking about, as a sustainer, you get a great Rick Steves package as your thank you gift. In the package, you'll receive three wonderful books written by Rick Steves: Europe Through the Back Door, Europe's Top 100 Masterpieces, Art for the Traveler, and For the Love of Europe. And it doesn't stop there. You get the Rick Steves Art of Europe DVD set, the Travel Skills DVD, and the Best Destinations newsletter. It's a great package for a fan of public broadcasting and for a fan of Rick Steves. Are you itching to exercise your travel legs again? Get a few new stamps in your passport? Now is the perfect time to plan a trip, and Rick Steves can definitely be your guide. But if you're not quite ready to travel just yet, you can dream about traveling by reading these wonderful books and watching some great shows about the art of Europe. Make that gift of $15 a month right now. Making that gift only takes a few minutes of your time today, and you'll be supporting a radio station that you love and depend on. Make a gift now by visiting WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thank you for your support this hour. I was briefly talking about this, and I want to circle back a little bit on the Monuments Men and their work, because I do think what you're saying is so true. Knowing those extra little stories when you go to someplace iconic like the Louvre really just brings it just enhances the experience to have all those little extra details.
Well, yeah, I just, as a tour guide, that's my greatest joy, is to take people to a place that turns me on and set them up so it'll turn them on also. I mean, you know, for years I went to St. Peter's Basilica, you know, the greatest church in Christendom, with a bad attitude. I was, and I'd step in there and I'd think, well, what is all this gold leaf and who paid for this stuff and what's with all these saints? And then I thought, no, park your Lutheran sword at the door and step in as a temporary Roman Catholic 500 years ago and realize this is the greatest thing humankind, Western civilization, could create to glorify God. And to see it in its terms, in its age, 500 years ago, it made all the difference in the world. So now as a tour guide, I like to explain, what's the big deal? Who's the guy with the bushy beard and the keys? That's St. Peter. You step inside and you gaze up at that dome. It's taller than a football field on end, designed by Michelangelo. And up there in 6 foot tall letters in Latin, it says, Tu es Petrus, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And then you look down there and you see the tomb of St. Peter, and you realize that 2,000 years ago, nearly 2,000 years ago, Peter was martyred right there as halftime entertainment at a chariot race course. And when the games were over, his followers took his corpse up to a little humble hill, which was called the Vatican Hill, and they buried him there. And for 300 years, they prayed on his tomb in the cover of darkness when it was dangerous to be a Christian. And then suddenly in 312, Constantine becomes a Christian, and it's okay. They build a huge church right there. And 1,200 years later, they decide we need a bigger, more modern and better church. So they tear that one down and build another one, and that's the one we see today. That context, step into there, you get goosebumps. And it's the example of not being ethnocentric, not being chronocentric, but coming on there and seeing it in its terms, in its age. All over Europe, you do that. I was talking about windmills, Anna. You climb up a windmill and you think, whoa, hundreds of years ago, the ingenious Dutch harnessed wind power to turn those blades, and then with gears, they just all of a sudden down underneath the ground, it turned an Archimedes screw, which pumped the water from down below over the dike and into the ocean. They drained the land, and then they turned that salty seabed into fertile farmland, and they became a wealthy, powerful nation. It's enough to give you goosebumps when you climb up into that mill and hear those centuries-old oak beams creaking as they capture the wind. And then you look out on the horizon and you see a whole army of wind turbines from our generation, and you think, that was Dutch, man, oh man. There's just so many ways to be inspired by your travels. And when we support public broadcasting, we're also helping our neighbors have a transformational experience. Whether we have a passport and can afford to get out there or have the interest in getting out there and seeing the world or not, the world is there. We are 4% of this amazing world, and there's 96% out there that we need to get to know. And we can get out there. And my favorite souvenir in so many ways is to fly home after a trip and realize, wow, this world is home to billions of equally beautiful people. It's full of love. It's full of families. It's full of joy. And of course, there's some complex problems and some bad apples. But the more you get to know the world, the more you're not afraid. The more you're excited about building bridges instead of building walls and helping make our world a stable and just place. I just think that is the greatest transformational value of travel. And I wish everybody could travel in order to be more thankful to be Americans and to be better citizens, both of this nation and of our world. And that's why I'm so enthusiastic about taking the time right now to remind you about the importance of media, public media, media that sees us not as eyeballs on a rating charts, media that's not designed to enrich corporations that make it possible, but media that's designed for the needs and the benefit and the welfare of our people. This is public broadcasting, public radio, WOSU. Again, it's not a charity, it is a service. If you're consuming this service and you can support it, that's great. If you can't support it, that's cool too. It's public. But if you can support it, it's only right to do so. And Anna and I are laying out a lot of gifts. I want to stress, it's not about the gifts. It's about making public radio strong in your community. WOSU needs your help. But if you want to call in now or go online now, you can snare these thank you gifts that all help you turn your travel dreams into smooth and affordable reality. For $8 a month, You'll get the For the Love of Europe book, my 100 most important articles taking you 400 pages of my favorite experiences in a lifetime of traveling through Europe. And you'll get the 6-hour art series on DVD, Rick Steves, The Art of Europe. For $15 a month, you get that. Plus, you get the How to Travel Guidebook, the brand new 40th edition, Europe Through the Back Door. If I could thumb through that book, everything you need to know so you can learn from my mistakes rather than your own and have a better trip is in there. Plus, you'll get that coffee table book, Europe's 100 Masterpieces of European Art. I'm so proud of this book because these are my favorites. A lot of your favorites also, but I'll introduce you to some other ones that you'll be going, wow, why didn't I know about that? At each level, you'll also get our newsletter. And in the newsletter, it explains all the work I do. Every Monday we have a party. It's called Monday Night Travel. It's free. It's a lot of fun. You'll get the information on that. I've got an app which is absolutely free. It's called Rick Steves Audio Europe. You'll learn about that, and it's got 60 tours that you can take. Just pop me in your ear, and I'll walk you through the great sights of Europe, and it's absolutely free. And you'll learn about the tours that we take all around Europe on our Rick Steves Tour program. All of these gifts are yours with great thanks if you can support WOSU at that exciting $15 a month level. Anna's going to tell you now how to get on board.
Yeah, and I'm also going to tell you that time is running out, because we are nearing the end of our hour with Rick Steves. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and we're very excited to have Rick with us on the air today, talking about his decades of travel across Europe. Our thank you gifts today will allow you to stow away with America's favorite travel writer as he relives his favorite European experiences. And your support today will help pay for all the programs on 89.7 NPR News that you listen to in the months to come. You can go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. With that gift of $8 a month as a sustainer, you get a Rick Steves package that includes the book For the Love of Europe. This book is full of stories that only Rick could tell. With this book, Rick hopes to inspire you to connect more intimately with other people and other cultures, from France to Germany to Ireland, and of course, Italy. You'll love the stories in this book. Also in the package is the Rick Steves DVD set called Art of Europe. This is a complete 6-hour series that tells the story of Europe's art. Plus, you also get the Rick Steves Best Destinations newsletter and his Travel Skills DVD when you become a member at $8 a month, or make a one-time gift of $96 at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Make that gift right now while Rick is still on the air with us. Show your support for this show and for public media. If you've been listening for a while but have never given before, please consider making the move. Move from being a listener to becoming a member, a supporter of public radio. Join the WOSU family. And at $8 a month and $15 a month, we have packages that work for you. We want to give you an amount that works for you. But please, make a gift in whatever amount works for you. But please give now before this hour ends. You're running out of time to support all sides today. Give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And as we're coming to the end of our hour, I think, Rick, it's a great time to ask you about how we feel when we come to the ends of our trips, because I think we're always so afraid that this is the one time we're going to France, or this is the one time we're going to get to see London. And we want to do everything. We want to jam-pack our schedules, because it's so precious, these moments that we have. And I just love your advice of assume you'll be back.
Yeah, that's a very important part of planning a trip, is don't try to see everything. It's a blessing that you cannot see everything. So celebrate that. You've got a lifetime of travel ahead of you. And the key is to be able to travel in a way that you're going to want to go back and that you don't spend so much money so you can afford to go back. And I'll tell you, after, you know, I just had my 50th high school reunion. And on my very first trip on my own, I was the day after I graduated from high school. So I've been doing this for 50 years. And I've got a staff of 100 hardworking colleagues. We're all mission driven. We've got technology beyond our wildest dreams to amplify our teaching. And I've been spending 100 days every year working on my my content, you know, learning to write new guidebooks, putting together these tours, getting the scripts together for our TV series. And what I'm impressed by, Anna, is after all of this travel, I cannot begin to exhaust Europe of what it has to offer. And of course, Europe is just the beginning. I mean, my favorite countries are India and Southeast Asia and Japan and so on. I mean, but Europe is the springboard for world exploration. Our mission at Rick Steves Europe is to equip and inspire Americans to venture beyond Orlando. You know, we just got to get out there and realize the world is not going to bite you. After three, you know, Disney World's great, but go there a few times, and then you could actually consider getting a passport and heading overseas. And what I was going to say is, after all this travel, I'm impressed by how you cannot exhaust Europe of what it has to offer. Just in the last few years, I've unearthed whole new ways to travel. Right now, my girlfriend and I are really into long-distance venerable trails in Europe. They've got these wonderful trails that are just iconic. We hiked around Mount Blanc, and I'm no example of some great mountaineer, but I'm give me a couple of walking sticks and a good pair of hiking shoes, and I can hike around Mount Blanc. It's 10 days and 100 miles, and every night you can sleep in an amazing mountain lodge and have beautiful food. You go through France, you go through Italy, and you go through Switzerland as you hike from Chamonix all around Europe's tallest mountain, 15,000 feet high, and you do that big circle. And every day you go up to a ridge, you have a picnic, and you hike into the next valley. It's a whole community of people doing exactly that. I sort of cheated. I hired a company to make my hotel reservations, line up good dinners, and provide a Sherpa service that took our bags to the next hotel. So every day we just had a simple little day bag, and it was a great vacation. And at the top of each ridge, and it was actually cheating also because we just cherry picked the best 6 days and 60 miles and took bus rides for the boring parts. But I just thought, what a great experience. And I've been doing this so long, and I'm supposed to be the expert at it, and I didn't even know this was an option. And then last year, we went on a luxury gourmet barge tour through Burgundy. And it was just a couple of friends and us, four of us on this gourmet barge. It had a captain, a first mate, and a chef. That was the crew of three. And every day we'd bicycle through the vineyards. We would visit different wonderful little villages and markets. We'd go with our chef in the morning and do our shopping. And then he would cook it up for us in the evening. And then we'd sit on the deck and just luxuriate in all of that French Burgundian wonder, learning about the cuisine and enjoying the fine wine. And that's what people do. This is an option that you can do. And just last year, our vacation was a little bus tour through Morocco. And I had never taken a tour. It wasn't one of my tours. It's just another little boutique tour company at the time of our life in a place that I knew very little about. And it just reminded me, you cannot exhaust this beautiful world of what it has to offer if you get out there and travel. That's what we like on public broadcasting, is to inspire people to reach out and not be afraid of the world. I remember when I started teaching, people said, bon voyage. Now, what do they say? Have a safe trip. We'll pray for you. Are you sure you want to go over there these days? It's, you know, wow, come on. When somebody tells me you have a safe trip, I'm inclined to say, you have a safe stay at home. Because where I'm going statistically, and I know statistics are optional these days, but where I'm going statistically is safer than where you're staying. In fact, if you love your kids, you'll take them to Europe tomorrow. Europeans laugh out loud when they hear that Americans are staying home for safety reasons. That's the fun of traveling. You get a broader perspective. You realize that we don't have a lock on the truth. Everybody's trying to figure it out. And there's good people in other countries that we can partner with. We can compare notes. We become citizens of the planet. And when we fly home, we're more thankful than ever that we live right here. But we want to contribute to our nation to have a constructive place at the seat of the, at the table with the family of nations as we deal with these amazing challenges that will be confronting us from now on out. That's why we need public broadcasting. That's why we need the quality, international affairs and current events and news that we find here on public radio. This is not entertainment masquerading as news designed to sell ads. This is real news on WOSU, and that in itself is worth getting on board. So once again, the ball's in your court, $8 a month or $15 a month. If you wonder, is it included? The answer is yes, at $15 a month. Every gift we're talking about. Thank you so much for inviting me to be your travel partner today.
And thank you so much for joining me today in this hour. This is All Sides with Anna Staver. And every day we bring you interesting conversations with people who are experts in their field. And today it was Rick Steve, who is certainly an expert in the European travel field. For $15 a month as a sustainer, you get the Rick Steves Combo Package, which includes everything we have been talking about this hour. And hurry, you are running out of time. Call 866-897-9678 or make a gift now in these final moments at WOSU.org. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus, and online at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News, global, local.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.